Galaxy of Film presents.
Let's fucking go!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Brandon Messina, and welcome back to another episode of the LFG podcast, a bonus kind of side thing that we do for the main channel, Galaxy of Film. And my co-host for this special episode is Chad Freeman. How's it going, Chad? How have you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me back on the show. Excited to be here.
Great to have you back, Chad. For this specific episode, we will be discussing Rebel Moon Part 2. I believe The Scargiver is the official title of this sequel, or kind of like a continuation. Yeah, Chad, last time we were here, we were discussing the first one, and needless to say, we did have mixed opinions on what we thought about the first one, for sure.
Yeah.
You definitely were more highly praising of it more than I
for
was.
Sure. For sure.
But I definitely had my hopes up for part two, just to see if any improvements were made from the first one, or if anything really like just stuck out more than it did the previous endeavor. But we might as well get into it. Rebel Moon Part 2 is our topic, and for the synopsis, I'm going to hand over the reins to Chad here, since he is the big Zack Snyder fan. Chad, go right away with what this movie is about.
Yeah, so basically this picks right up after the first one, and it has Korra and the people that battled against the Admiral Noble, and they thought defeated him, killed him. Going to the planet that she had been staying on, which I'm terrible with pronunciations, but what's the name of that planet again? It's
Velt.
That's what it is.
Because I didn't remember either, but you got close to it that I can remember. Thank you for that.
So basically they go back there, and at first, you know, they're all, you know, thinking that they've saved the day and there's nothing to worry about, that they're not going to come for their grain. But then they find out that because there's basically a soldier who has now he survived whenever there was a battle, basically slaughtering all the soldiers, and he's essentially on their side now, and so he still has inside information as to what's going on, and basically lets them know that, you know, they're still coming, they're going to be here in 5 days, they're still expecting to get the grain. And so they decide that they're going to train the villagers. Well, first they're going to harvest all of the crops in 3 days, and then they're going to train all of the villagers as well. So this all in 5 days time, they're going to harvest all of this grain and train the village. So a little, you know, kind of hard to buy into.
Definitely a tough task.
Yes. Seems like they would be very tired from doing the harvesting.
But I'm sure they'll get it done.
Well, and they do. But
Rome was not built in a day, Chad.
Yeah, it was built in 5 days, evidently. So, yes.
Yes, it was.
Yes. So they are able to do that. And to me, the first half of this movie is so boring and unbelievable to me, because one, that they're harvesting all this grain in 3 days, and then they're actually training and getting these villagers ready for battle. So then the second half is basically just, you know, nothing but fighting, nothing but action. So it's honestly not a full movie, I feel like, and it could have been meshed with the first one and maybe trimmed down into, you know, maybe a 3-hour movie, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it definitely doesn't at all try to be its own movie, and it just feels like a piece of a bigger puzzle. And of course, originally we were told there were going to be two of these films. So I was expecting this one would have some sort of conclusion to it. But now we know there's possibly another two, maybe four more. So, which I am excited for. But I would just say overall, though, there's not really a story, really. It's just them coming back to Velt and getting the village ready for the battle, and then basically all hell breaks loose. So
yeah, pretty much you basically summarized the whole movie in about 5 minutes. You are not wrong at all. Yeah, that was Rebel Moon Part Two. And normally I would start with what I liked about this movie, but I think I want to talk about the negatives first.
Right.
If you don't mind, Chad.
Yeah, no problem.
Definitely the main problem with this is the story and how confusing it is script-wise. Because, and this goes with what I had problems with from the first movie, mm-hmm. is that they spend a lot of time with Cora's character, which I do appreciate that they at least have the time to like go over Cora's character a little bit.
Right.
That they negate the rest of the side characters.
Mm-hmm.
And God, for the love of me, I still do not remember what the names of those side characters were. The only ones I remember are her love interest, Gunner.
Right. Yeah.
And General Titus. Those are the only two names that I can remember from this movie. Everyone else was pretty forgettable. And yeah, you pretty much nailed it right on the head. Like the first part, or at least generally for the majority of this movie, it was just there. Like it was just kind of plodding along.
Right.
With all the farmers farming the crops and the grain. Mm-hmm. While also training to fight off the Admiral and his army. But weirdly, like, the pacing for me in the first part of this, like, actually, like, flew by for me. It was weird. I don't know how, like, exactly, like, it just flew by. But, like, I was in the halfway point of the movie, and there's, like, an hour left already. I'm like, wow, really?
Right.
and it was when the action took off for me is when it really started to drag.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think we might have different opinions on that.
Well, yes, because I will say, you know, this came out for me at 3 a.m. on a Thursday, and I usually go to bed around 3 a.m. I stupidly put it on, and I'm like, okay, we're going to watch this, me and my girlfriend. And it was so boring that first half that I was like, there's no way I'm going to finish this.
You're not wrong. You're not
wrong. I turned it off. Now, the worst part for me was when they're at the table and it's kind of like going around giving the backstory for everybody, but it's done in such a like awful way. It's just like so.
I think the main problem for me with that scene is that most of the backstories were very similar to each other.
Yeah.
So they kind of just all bled into like each other's backstories, and it didn't really connect, like you said, in the right way.
Yeah.
And they were all just kind of like, basically each backstory was like, our whole world is just like under like an explosion, and this is how I feel about it.
Right.
That's basically how each,
of
their flashbacks were.
It's almost like it was there because it was there. It's like it wasn't really needed. I mean, you could have done like got to the same feeling just basically using more of Cora, because why go into each individual one and then not really have much to do with the characters anyway? I mean, I don't know. It was just like there to be there. So I turned it off. Like after that scene, I turned it off at that point. And I was like, and then the next day I'm like, you know what? because I was really down. I was like, man, this is so bad. Yeah. My girlfriend, she even liked the first one. And I was like, okay, we're gonna put this on the next day. And then I was pleasantly surprised. But yeah, that first half is just not good.
Yeah, and like at least with the first one for me, like my opinions on, like, it's kind of like a rehashed story that we've seen before.
Yeah,
there's at least some promise in it where, like, okay, like, they could, like, go off of this in part two, and they could probably, like, improve on some of the, like, story problems that weren't there from the first one. Right. But to me, it just seemed like they dumbed it down a little bit more in part two. Yeah. And they kind of just focused, like you said, it didn't feel like a full movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And honestly, I kind of agree with you. They should have just took a chunk from this movie and just incorporated it into the last movie and just make it this 3-hour epic
right.
that Zack Snyder just loves to do.
Right.
and I know, like, this could be done because I really like Zack Snyder's cut of the Justice League, like that 4-hour big movie that he made. Like, I dug that. So for this one to just fall the way it did, like,
yeah,
it's not. I wasn't surprised by it, but, like, I was really disappointed at the same time.
And speaking of, like, being there just to be there, I feel like that the love interest, that whole love story thing, that should have been more integrated into the first one mm-hmm. than it was. And then it was just kind of like here in this one. And then it was just like, we get to the end and then it's like, oh, okay, well, that's why all of a sudden they had sex. I mean, it just felt really forced. There's a lot forced here. Yeah, there's a lot forced here.
Also, can you explain to me why that little boy had an interest with the scissor lady?
Yeah, Nemesis, yeah.
Yeah, Nemesis. I was weirded out by that throughout the entire movie. I'm like, they at least laid the groundwork for it. Is it going to go anywhere?
Right.
And it's just, they didn't really touch on that at all. Like,
right.
Like, maybe, like, Nemesis, like, reminded her of, like, her kid.
Yeah.
But it was just like,
they did the same thing with Titus too. He had his own kind of thing like that too. This weird, like, it was like they were trying to build these connections with the villagers, but they came off as very forced and like,
yes.
Yeah. It was just, it came off odd the way it was done.
I agree. What else to say about this movie? The acting wasn't too bad. Like, I did enjoy a decent amount of the performances.
Well, we're talking about the negatives. Are you going into the positives now?
I think I'm already going into some of the positives I like. That the acting was decent.
Yeah.
The effects still were, I think for the most part, they hit really well.
I didn't feel like it was as good as the first one, the effects.
I did notice more some of the cheapness of some of the effects.
It's almost like this one did really kind of feel more like rushed as opposed to the first one. Just not as polished overall. Now, there are director's cuts of both versions, so I am interested in seeing both of those and how long those are going to be, but who knows?
Are they out yet? Or
no, they're not coming out, I think, until like summer. So
okay.
Yeah, I will say, as far as positives, that second half I actually loved. I can throw out the whole first half, but the second half I loved, even though there were poorly set up things and the payoffs weren't what they could have been, like Nemesis and the little boy or Cora and Gunner. Those parts that should have had some impact in that second half did not, because the first half was so poorly set up. But action wise, I loved the action. I loved the Nemesis scenes. I was really totally into that. I was into the battle scenes. I was into, absolutely loved when Jimmy showed up and basically goes Superman on on the bad guys. I love that. And then even the battle, I mean, Cora and Gunner and noble. That scene was a lot like a couple of different scenes from Star Wars, but at the same time, I still very much enjoyed it. So for me, there were many, many things that hit really well for me in the second half. But that being said, maybe they worked so well because I was so disappointed the first half that then I was like, oh, this is amazing. And so who knows how it'll play on a rewatch.
Yeah, it's weird because I have like my opinion switch from yours is that I strangely remember the first part of this movie, but when it actually got to that action, I found myself kind of like zoning out a lot of the time. Maybe that's because I've just had enough of the Zack Snyder slow motion effects.
And I love it. See, I love it. I love it when I get the Zack Snyder slow-mo and the, colors.
I'm hit or miss when it comes to Zack Snyder's slow motion. Because when it works, it works.
Yeah.
But he does often do it a lot and sometimes unneeded. And for me, it just, that's when the movie slowed down for me, in my opinion. Was gotcha. When the action, I mean, I did enjoy some of the moments. Like you said, with the Nemesis. I can't even say your name.
Nemesis.
The Nemesis fight at, in the barn with the like three army men. That was some decent fun. And I did like as well the noble fight with Korra and Gunner. But yeah, other than that, like.
So the Jimmy fight, you didn't, because like when Jimmy showed up, I was like, here comes Jimmy. And then he shows up and then he's got the cape on. And I'm like, yeah,
I honestly forgot who Jimmy was in this movie.
The robot. The robot.
Now that you reminded me about that. That was a little bit of fun. That was a little bit fun. Yeah. I'll give you that. other than that, it was one of those big budgeted movies where nothing, I remember nothing really from this.
Yeah.
It was kind of just popcorn.
I was disappointed because like I said, I think the Nemesis death, that could have been really impactful had they set up that relationship with the boy and actually had more to that than the weird thing that was in the movie. And then the same thing with Gunner at the end, that would have had impact too had they better set up that relationship instead of it just kind of being forced in there. So
there was a small part of me where like I did feel a tiny bit bad for Gunner, but like you said, like it wasn't justified with how they killed him off, and especially too with Nemesis. They didn't really add a lot of depth, like I said, to some of the side characters, especially that one girl who has the eye paint.
Who looks like she's like out of Mad Max. Yeah.
Yes. The Mad Max lady. Like, I'm honestly, speaking like truthfully here, I kind of wish she died in this movie. I know it's wrong for me to say that, but like, she didn't really do anything in this movie to justify her staying alive.
The worst thing about the second half, though, is that when they show up, what's her name? The sister of the character that died in the first one shows up with all the ships, and they're like
at the end.
Just like what?
Yeah,
wasn't the Mad Max girl like in with them? Why wouldn't they been there for her? You know, I mean,
yeah, she was the sister of Ray Fisher's character back.
Yes.
But yeah, they show up like towards the end of the battle, and it's like, where were you the first half? Why did you happen to just come in now when the battle was just pretty much over with all?
Yeah, Jimmy was whooping everybody's ass. You came up and like
Noble just died like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, yes.
And they were just killing off all their army men too. So it was just like there was no need for her and her army.
Right. It was just like, okay, and you knew this was going on, and you knew that, you know, whatever her name was there, because she was in their, you know, part of their army. Cause I think she had something going on with the Ray Fisher character.
Also, I still don't know who like Anthony Hopkins' robot character was. Like, what was he doing in the movie? Like, look, I'm going to be honest. Half of his shots were just the robot standing above a pile of rocks and just staring down at whatever was happening.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing. And that's another one of those things that it wasn't handled very well, but you know, he basically was,
he's like a rogue robot
he is like a robot that's like an amazing warrior assassin, but he was created to protect the princess, the king, and they're all dead, so he has no reason to do anything, and he has given up fighting. He doesn't want to fight, and so he just basically was just kind of hanging out in the wilderness and until he, you know, I just think of the Grinch, like his heart grew 10 times.
Oh my God. You know?
He shows up to kick ass. That's a funny
comparison. That is a really funny comparison.
I mean, honestly, yeah, he's kind of the Grinch out in the cave.
now see, cause I did like the setup of where they had the robot in the first movie. Like, okay, like, he, you know, he's a part of the, like, nobles army, like, this robot assassin, but, like, slowly, like, we start to see, like, he doesn't want to, you know, be with them anymore. But they didn't, like I said, they didn't really do anything with that character. There were, like, glimpses of it throughout, but there wasn't really enough to really, for, like, that character make an impact in any way.
Well, let's go back real quick to something. I just thought of this because when I'm watching and I'm like, really? They have her go hide the ship. There's a waterfall and she just drives through the waterfall. How does she know that there's a cave on the other side of that waterfall? I mean, like, what if there wasn't and she just crashed into?
She just died for no reason.
And how did she get there so quick? Because they were like, hey, go get it. And she all of a sudden was there, you know, getting the spaceship. I don't know. Just like that, though, when she drove into the waterfall, I'm like, how does she know that that's even there? I mean, I don't know. It was one of those. It was just really like, yeah.
I will say I did like the robot action stuff. Like that a little bit. Especially when he tossed a grenade in the tank and he just flew out of there. I did like that a little bit.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of moments that I guess weren't really earned. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't set up well. I kept thinking, going back to what we said the first time, you said that you honestly felt like this should have been a series and they could have explored different things. And I felt the same way, because there's so much that's not explored and there's so much that's just like kind of there. I mean, if it was a series, you have a full episode on, you know, just Quora and Gunner and their relationship. You build that up. You have a whole episode on Jimmy, you know, and where he is and what he's been doing, you know. And then you go into a whole episode on Nemesis' backstory. So it would have worked better as a series.
Yeah, but like I said on our last episode that we did, like, there's moments in here where, like, it's a good setup for a TV show, but I feel like they just crammed it all into a 2-hour movie and we're supposedly getting at least 5 more. I think that's what I heard.
See, I heard 6 total. I don't know. Who knows?
Around there.
Yeah. Like probably shoot another 2 back to back and then probably another 2 back to back after that, if it gets greenlit, but who knows?
I don't hate Zack Snyder's idea for this whole thing, because I think there are blueprints to a very solid, like, franchise or, like, a big budgeted television show on, like, Hulu or Netflix,
right?
Any one of those big streaming services. But yeah, like I said, I feel like they just smushed it all together into at this point two movies now, and I think it would have been better if we explored the characters in each episode. That way, when we get to like that big action, like our action part in part two, then it feels a little bit more earned, because we that would probably be like their, I'm not trying to compare this to any way to Marvel, but like this could be like their like Avengers Endgame or like in Avengers Infinity War type moment where everybody rallies together and they come back and defeat like the big baddie. But that was just like a tiny comparison. Like, no way are they like alike one another to me. Honestly, that's really all I have to say about this movie. This is there was really not much to say other than that. Like,
Because I mean, it's just really a piece of a bigger puzzle. It's not, you know. But I mean, honestly, I was disappointed because there were moments that I really really did like, but then there were moments that I was just like, yeah, this is bad. And I love Zack Snyder. It's hard for me to even say, you know, something's bad when it is bad, or at least that's what people say about me.
No, you say like you're a Zack Snyder fan. So for you to like not like this movie as much as you did, like that definitely saying something.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
But this movie doesn't really make me look forward to part three or part four whenever they happen to come out. Do you actually know the timetable for when those movies are supposed to come out?
I don't think they've got one, because I as far as I know, Netflix has not like said, yep, we're doing
it. Greenlit it
yet. Yeah, yeah. As far as I know, the next thing is the like director's cuts of part one and part two, which I don't think is coming until like the summer sometime. So I don't
know. Maybe those maybe the director's cuts will actually improve on some of those things that were missing from the Netflix.
Yeah, I think definitely could help with like the, like I said, the stuff that feels too forced. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it does. But yeah, I mean, as far as this one, just like the first one, I think the for the most part looks good. It, to me, it doesn't look as good as the first one. And the score again was good. Wasn't to me as strong as the first one, but maybe both of those are just because we already had the first one and I'm just kind of comparing it. And this is just more of that as opposed to, you know, something completely different.
No. Yeah. I completely agree with you on a lot of your points. Well, that's it. We're going to go right into our scores then for Rebel Moon Part 2. I'll start with you, Chad. What do you rate Star Wars Planets or 1 through 5 on your scale?
I go with 2 stars, which I believe is Hoth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the icy planet on Empire Strikes Back. And I think that pretty much fits. Yeah, I mean, I wish I liked it more, and I did really like the second half, but I couldn't see giving it more than 2 stars, because to me that first half just so bad. I really didn't like it.
I feel you. My score for this movie is going to be a 1.5 out of 5. So that would be, according to Star Wars Planets, that would be a Jakku on the way to Hoth. Despite the movie halfway like flying by for me, but I agree with you. Like, that first part was just nothing but boring, just filler at that point. Yeah. Like, nothing was going on in the first half, despite a decent pacing. And then the action for me just kind of slowed the entire thing down. But I mean, there were some like fine performances from some of the main cast. But yeah, like none of the characters other than Korra really gives kind of like the same, given the love and care from the script at all. And it just really dilutes this movie, mostly for me. I did not like this at all.
Korra's backstory is very confusing too.
It is confusing. But at least there's something there to like get behind, you know?
Right.
At least for me, there is.
And then to find out at the end of this that what we were told. The princess
is still alive.
Yeah, exactly.
The princess is still alive after all this.
And, you know, Noble's probably still alive too, even though he got cut in half and his head got off. And
yeah, knowing them, they probably like have the head now and they could just put him on a different body at that point. Noble will probably come back in part three.
Right.
Yeah. The poor kills. Well, initially we thought she killed the princess in right. the flashback with the king and the queen.
Mm-hmm. Which didn't make sense to me that she did it because the king, who is her basically adopted father, mm-hmm. wanted her to do it. But then because she did it, he then blamed her for killing the other king.
Wait, everybody else was around it. Like,
yeah, I know. It makes no sense.
Everybody saw her do it. And
everybody saw him kill the other. So yes. It's just like, what?
It didn't make any sense at all. You're completely right. That just pissed me even more off.
Yes.
Oh, but I already gave my score. I already gave my feelings for this movie. I don't need to go into a huge rant now about it.
And then, of course, the end of this, she reveals that to Titus, and he's like, oh, I already knew.
Yeah, I already knew all this.
Yeah, no, so messy. So messy.
Any final thoughts, Chad, before we close this one out?
No, I still love Zack Snyder, and they did put out a photo, an image from his animated series that's coming.
War of the Gods, I believe, right?
Yeah. So I'm excited for that, and
makes me intrigued too.
And I am excited for the director's cut still.
All right, Chad, that about wraps it up for this episode of LFG. Yep. Where can our followers find you on social media, or if there's anything else you would like to plug on your behalf?
Yeah, so on any social media, I am Polly Staffel, PollyStaffle. And then I am on YouTube under my name, Chad Freeman, and I do a Saturday show, 4 p.m. Eastern each Saturday, where I share indie music from artists from all over the world and do some other streaming here and there. But yeah. So I'm actually starting up a monthly movie club on Sundays, the Ooh. Last Sunday of each month, 10 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to hopefully have a panel of people, and then the chat help us pick a movie that we're going to watch to then discuss the next last Sunday of the month. So we're doing our first one, and we'll see what we end up watching, because we're trying to have people bring stuff, and it can be anything. I mean, it can be old stuff, it can be new stuff, whatever, and we'll see what happens. So it could be fun though.
That does sound like a lot of fun. Hit me up. I'd definitely like to join one of those movie All right. clubs
cool.
one day for sure. People can follow me on Instagram at BLion2K24 and also on Twitter or X at BrandonM226. You can follow Galaxy of Film on all types of social media. We have a Facebook fan group. You can also follow us on Twitter, X, Instagram, or TikTok. We are on all those platforms. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Galaxy of Film Productions, where we have a ton of our short films, video essays, live streams, all that is wrapped up into our YouTube content. And be sure to check out our galaxyoffilm.com website, where we have posted all of our podcast episodes and all of the portfolios for each of the Galaxy of Film members, as well as we will be providing videography services very soon. So if you have any kind of music video or any weddings, anything of that that you would like us to be involved in, be sure to contact us about that for more details. Once again, I'd like to thank Chad for coming on for this episode, and I hope all of you guys enjoyed this special edition of LFG, and I hope all of you guys have a great rest of your day. Peace out, everybody.